Scotland, Bulgaria got blind, sacked in the morning. It never rains, but it pours, and Coleman's leg break, Uruguay's heartache. Look ahead, Premier League, Tottenham, Burnley, Merseyside derby, Arsenal find it hard, they've got City, momentous. Napoli host Juventus, TFC and Kansas, we paint a picture on the canvas. Koshcast, at full mast. Hello and welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com and at _thekosh on Twitter. I'm joined by all the lads again, 2 weeks in a row. This is a new record. Bernie, how are you?
I'm sad because it's International Week. Now the week I decide to show up. Come on.
True. Roche, how sad are you?
Quite sad because it's International Week, but I'm happy to be here with the four lads.
Nice. Mohamed, happy, sad, somewhere in between?
I mean, I might as well go with the same answer again. Sad because it's international break.
He's yelling in his head.
All right, yeah. Sounds like a great podcast coming up, right? Where are we going to start? I think we'll start with the international stuff. Get it out of the way.
All right.
Yeah, and then we'll move on to... we'll do a Premier League preview. We'll have a look at what's going on in Europe next weekend. And some other fun stuff too, so stick around for that. Mohamed, where are we starting?
Well, let's start locally. It's a friendly between Canada and Scotland. Locally,
yes.
I mean Canada, obviously.
I mean, it was in Scotland.
Sure. It was what? The first game for a new manager, wasn't it?
Yeah. Octavio Zambrano. Strong name.
Yeah, I mean, strong. We went from Benito Floro to Octavio. Like, we're just getting stronger and stronger.
Getting more and more hipster.
Exactly.
Next is going to be Augustus.
Augustus
Nero.
Caesar.
Aurelius. Yeah. I mean, when Canada went 1-0 up.
Yes.
I think a small corner of Twitter blew up.
Oh, very much so.
The Canadian corner of Twitter.
In Vancouver.
Yes.
But the best thing about it was the goal was scored by Fraser Aird, who spent basically his whole career in Scotland. And he celebrated like a lunatic. And then I can't remember who it was, but one of the other Canadian players came up to him and just like held his head and was like, "You need to calm down because they will kill you when you come back for like regular football." And then after that, Fraser Aird just like calmed
Is that what he actually said to him?
I'm getting that from the scene. I don't know. Rewatch it. But basically, Fraser Aird is going bonkers and this guy grabs his head and speaks to him for a minute and then he calms right down.
I see.
Well, he's probably like, "It's Canada, mate. We have to be polite."
Maybe that too.
We can still lose this 6-1.
Anyways, let's move on to another friendly.
No, hold on. We didn't talk about Scotland's peasantry equalizer.
Sure, go ahead.
This was like pinball in the box and a bad clearance followed by another bad clearance followed by a scrappy goal.
Stephen Naismith. I don't know if you caught this, but he looked like David Bowie. His hair was all weird and he looked like he had eyeliner on. I don't know.
It's weird when you're already a weird-looking guy to get a weird-looking haircut. Like, that's...
But it's easier when you're a weird-looking guy because there's nothing to ruin.
So no one has any expectations.
It's an easier decision to make.
Omar knows from experience.
Yeah, sure. Personal experience.
Yeah.
The friendly I wanted to move on to was Germany-England. I was looking forward to this because, well, Southgate's been getting a lot of, I don't know. He picked Defoe, he picked Ox, he picked a few people. He left Theo Walcott out of his squad, blah, blah, blah. And this game, he actually played with three at the back.
Yeah,
against
the old
Germany,
3-4-2-1.
Yep, and what's his name played at centre back next to Stones, the guy who started this game, Keane, which was a weird inclusion, but I thought he played really well. And overall, the shape, it just England looked like they had a plan. It looked like they actually were passing the ball with some purpose, and not to get ahead of ourselves or anything. But it was just nice to see, refreshing against a B side from Germany.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of got lost a bit that it was Podolski's testimonial. Like, if you'd focused on the England aspect of it in the build-up, that really wasn't part of it. And it was quite a funny game. I don't know, Podolski just, like, got the ball and shot at every possible opportunity.
And then one went in.
I think that was
beautiful.
It was.
Gary Lineker tweeted something about, you know, football is a very simple game, 22 people... follow the ball around, and then Podolski hits it really hard, and Germany wins.
Yeah.
For Podolski, it's his 49th international goal. Very impressive from him to be, you know, Germany's third all-time goal scorer. And also, I think the second most appearances, or third most appearances. So it's very impressive.
For someone whose club career has been pretty trash compared to where he was supposed to be in his career.
After that, under, I think, was it the Olympics or under 21s or something? He was like man of the tournament. He was supposed to be the next big
thing. It was World Cup 2006. Where he was wrongfully the best player of that tournament.
Sure.
But okay, fine. We'll give him that. Whatever.
Wait, as opposed to who? I don't
Cristiano.
Remember. Cristiano.
Yeah, who just dove a lot so he didn't win.
Wow. Right, right. Yeah. But, I mean, England look promising for their...
Yeah, they were better.
...following qualifier. They played Lithuania.
Mm. Oh, right, I see. Yeah, we moved on, haven't we?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we have to, because then we talk about the same thing we talk about every time we talk about England. Sure. Is, oh, they look great in this friendly and qualifier, and then they get to the actual thing and they mess up. There's no point discussing England at all.
Fair enough, but we're about to do it slightly more.
Well, against Lithuania, he played Oxen center mid. He reverted back to the 4-3-3, to be fair. Oxen center mid, which is now his new position.
Yeah,
apparently,
unbelievable.
He was bad. Yeah.
Sorry, is this because England have no options?
Well, Henderson's injured.
Because it was three in the back out of necessity, or was it he was trying something?
He was trying it
tactically.
He was trying it because, like, most of the Premier League teams are now playing the system. Half the first 11 is Tottenham players, and they play that system. So I think it made sense with the players he had. But yeah, he went back to 4-2-3-1 or whatever it was. Oxlade-Chamberlain, central midfield, he was bad. What else did we have? Ali, Sterling, Lallana.
I mean, Sterling was, again, his chaotic self, where sometimes he's really useful and he creates havoc. And we saw it with the first goal where he ran down the left side. Good pass to Defoe, who is back scoring for England.
Which game are we talking about?
The Lithuania game.
Okay.
Back to, Defoe back to scoring goals for England after 4 years from, being included.
Yeah, good for Defoe. I mean, he's banging in goals for Sunderland, makes it back to the England lineup, bangs
quite
a goal in.
It's quite impressive.
I think this is genuinely the best Jermaine Defoe that has existed. And some people are making comments about, like, oh, he's 34, so why are you including him? And the thing is, England in the past have included players that were too old, but not because they were in form, but because they were who they were.
Absolutely.
And so this is different, I think. This is including an old player who is banging form. And so he deserves to be there.
I agree that, and I know Richey really likes Jermaine Defoe. I agree that he has been in great form. You're a Sunderland guy, so,
They're always
let everyone know that you're a Sunderland fan.
No, but I like this appointment by Southgate. I think what he's done, he's made some statements recently in the media saying, England have to face their reality of their football, and it's a complete shambles. And it's things that the media doesn't want to hear, English football needs to come to grips with, and he's made some uncharacteristic choices in his selection for the England 11. And it's good to see that, actually, from an England manager.
I agree.
Agreed. So they beat Lithuania 2-0. I think Vardy with the second goal. Really, really good pass by Lallana. Like, very quick thinking.
Yep.
Very good pass between the lines. And Vardy, good finishing. He's in better form now with Leicester.
Nah, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Well, he is in better form, but...
Yeah, he is in better form. Yeah. It's been better in four games now.
Quick question. If England are only beating Lithuania 2-0, are shit teams getting better?
No, England are getting
worse. No, shit teams are getting better because England are a shit team.
I preface this with the quality of England player is even worse than it was. Because if Michael Keane, who I think is a decent footballer, if Michael Keane is playing with this version of John Stones in your back three, that's not very good. Any sense of the word is that.
I mean, look, England 2000, 2002, whatever that period, I mean, you put it on paper.
The best defenders in the world.
It's supposed to win World Cups. I mean, easily. Yeah. Everywhere. All the way up the field.
England are actually worse. It's just that there are certain players, in my opinion, like Harry Kane and Dele Alli, who are better. But then the collective is actually worse.
But I think Southgate is trying to kind of... To change that a little bit.
I mean, one point is that it's an experimental side. There's very few games played in international colours this season so far. And I think England are at the start of a new cycle.
Let's hope so. I mean, with a new cycle with a 34-year-old up top.
Yeah,
exactly.
A new laundry cycle, maybe.
Yeah. He's the Cantona of England.
Yeah. Wow.
Not.
So Holland are worse than England.
Yes.
Holland
is.
They've been
terrible. Do you think you would have ever said that, like, a couple years ago? Would
it's
you
been
have said
coming.
That?
It has been.
It
coming,
has been coming.
Yeah.
To be fair, they lost to Bulgaria 2-0, and Danny Blind has been sacked.
About time.
Is he a quarterback?
What?
Oh,
he's been sacked.
Sure.
Wow.
Anyway, sorry. Just North American culture. Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't had good managers for the national team since Van Gaal.
Well, they keep appointing Van Gaal and Hiddink and
The next one is Advocaat. Oh, you mentioned Advocaat.
Well, at this point, they might as well give one of those guys a lifetime coaching contract. Just do it. There's no point of messing this up.
Yeah. I mean, technically, next in line, I think someone was saying, talking to us on Twitter earlier, next in line is Van Nistelrooy.
Yeah, might as well.
But, like, I'm not sure they're going to go for that.
I'm not sure it's a good idea.
I never saw him as a manager type.
Yeah, but he's been an assistant for the last few years.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah. they lost, the game and their manager.
Sorry, can I ask this question?
Yeah.
Who is the best player in Holland?
Robin.
In Holland or for Holland?
Robin is still the best Dutch player.
And forever, after he dies, he will still be the best Dutch player.
Do you know how sad that is?
Who else do you want? Huntelaar?
I can't think of anybody.
Their team doesn't exist. Depay, maybe, if
like,
you see some
Memphis
form.
Is the only guy that comes to mind after he scored a 50-yard goal.
Vincent Janssen's not bad.
To be fair, there's not much wrong with Arjen Robin. It's just that his name has been around forever.
Yeah, but sure.
But who else?
The point? But if that's your best player, that's a very big problem.
Martin Zindy?
Wow. Jan Mat.
Yeah, like, it's disgusting. Like, it's not... At this point, it's not even the manager's fault.
Daily Blink.
They're just really bad, exactly.
Okay, I will put on record that they have a bunch of youngsters that we don't know right now that we will know in a couple of years.
Yeah,
but we don't know them right now.
Best youngster.
It's fair to say that they've had some failures in international tournaments for a few tournaments now.
Yeah, I mean, Nigel de Jong, he's still kicking.
I've just thought of their best player.
Literally.
Who is that? Who is it?
Stefan de Vrij.
Or De Vrij?
Yeah, De Vrij. Yeah.
In Lazio?
Yeah. He's very, very good.
Yeah, decent player.
Schumann, he's back and forth for Roma.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So your best player is a croc. Amazing.
Or a clog in this case.
Mm. Republic of Ireland 0, Wales 0. I mean, the highlight of this one was a broken leg.
Ugh.
Sad.
This was a bad game. And Gareth Bale also could have broken John O'Shea's leg.
Yeah. He should have been sent off.
Yeah.
Didn't he get a retrospective... Is it retroactive or retrospective?
Retrospective.
Both work, right?
Surely both.
Retrospective means in a different view.
No.
Retroactive means after the act.
So does retrospective.
Okay.
English.
All right.
Yes. Anyways, so Coleman broke his leg, which was a shame because it's a shame regardless, but he's a very good player. You know, no one wants to see that happen. Ramsey was standing right there, which is obviously all the pictures that people picked up.
Just wondering if that's PTSD for him.
Yeah, definitely.
I would imagine. And the worst thing for Coleman is that Coleman's, like, when it happened to Ramsey was, 18, 19?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Coleman's 28. Like, it's going to take him 18 months, maybe 2 years to come back to any kind of full fitness. And at that point, he won't be in the Everton team. That's for sure.
Actually, I don't think it's going to take that long because it's a double fracture, which means it's a clean break. Which means it could be like 7 to 8 months.
Okay.
But he will be out for the calendar year.
But isn't... I think the idea is that the older you get, the longer it takes to recover and all that jazz. And even if it takes, let's say, 7 to 8 months, they're going to make an investment in the transfer market to replace him. And then his spot is gone.
By the time he's back, everything would have sold Lukaku and got relegated anyways.
He's still making the Irish lineup.
Yes,
that's true.
John O'Shea is still making the Irish lineup. Let's remember.
I bet you anything next game, Coleman's at right back. Moving on to South America, there were two really exciting games. Uruguay hosted Brazil.
Just before we move on from Ireland.
Okay.
Callum Gordon had a question for us
on Twitter.
Yeah.
He asked us if Neil Taylor should be parachuted straight into Raqqa. Discuss.
What? I think as a punishment. It seems
as a punishment.
Yeah.
Into Raqqa.
Yeah.
So, like, he runs around and then he tries to avoid ISIS and maybe gets his head cut off.
Yes.
That's, I mean, when you think of it that way, that might be a little bit harsh, no?
Down the right flank.
Well,
I think Guantanamo Bay is enough.
Ooh. Three-match ban or...
Or Guantanamo or Raqqa.
I mean, okay, here's the thing. Three-match ban, but in Guantanamo.
Didn't Neil Taylor follow us on Twitter one point? Wasn't him?
Don't think so.
Well,
you know, no, Kyle Norton.
Oh, it was Kyle Norton. Oh, what a day that was.
I just want to make a point on this Neil Taylor punishment. I mean, I know that at half in that match, Ireland with a rougher team going into the half, Chris Coleman must have given Wales a real talking to because they came out rough in the second half Gareth Bale comes in rough for the tackle on John O'Shea moments before Coleman gets his leg broken.
Right. So everybody was hyped up.
Yeah, and I think we should be blaming Chris Coleman for that.
Interesting. He doesn't seem like the type, but you never know.
But I see what you're saying. Like, you're saying like the second half people just came out charged.
They came out.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. It could have been an effect of the team talk. You never know. That's true. Yeah.
Maybe they watched 300 at halftime or something.
Yeah.
You know, that little clip, and then they got crazy. I don't
Lord
know.
Knows.
Why would I don't know why they came out like that.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Kumru.
What?
Never mind.
It's Welsh.
What is that? Welsh? Yeah. Alex speaks Welsh now?
I don't know. I don't want to know what that is.
Speaking of, you know, tackles and crazy stuff, let's move on to South America. Uruguay lost to Brazil 4-1. Uruguay actually taking the lead because Marcelo decided to chest it back to his keeper, thinking he's, you know, playing Leganes. And
you thought it was Keylor Navas.
Yes. Uruguay got the penalty, and Cavani dispatched it really well, actually, bottom
Brilliant.
Left. Yeah, really good penalty. And then from then on, Neymar and Paulinho, to be fair, decided to take on the game. Paulinho scoring a hat-trick all the way from China.
Disgrace.
Impressive.
Disgrace.
He's always been great for Brazil.
Yeah, he has to be.
How do you feel if you're Uruguay? This guy flew from China 25 hours, showed up that day and scores a hat-trick. Get out of my face.
To be fair, what has he been doing for the rest of the season? I mean, the pace of the league in China is... I don't know what it is. It must be pedestrian.
Yeah, and then sure. You come to South America and you're playing at like Formula One speed and then score a hat trick. How does that happen?
I mean, when you have Neymar on your team pulling the strings, yeah. He just made it look so easy. He was giving assists left, right, and center. His goal he took the ball on his thigh as he ran past what's his name, the ex Liverpool defender
Coates.
And I heard someone say that an old Neymar a few years ago, a young Neymar a few years ago, would have fell. To take that foul and try to get that red card.
Neymar is still young.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Younger.
I mean, like an infant Neymar.
He's 25.
Yeah.
The point is
valid. Like, Neymar used to dive.
He would have gone down and gotten the foul. But now what he did was he continued, chipped the keeper beautifully, added to his crazy stats for Brazil, which are like, he has more goals and assists than games. It's insane. Yeah. I mean...
You do know that all it's going to take for Neymar to be... the greatest ever is one World Cup. At this point, just one.
Yeah.
Not three like Pele, just one.
One.
Because the stats are ridiculous. There's this underlying
His
hype
team
in
is
Brazil.
Much worse. His team
well,
is
in
much
Brazil,
worse.
Right? Like, they're absolutely trash right now. Well, they're getting better, but they're supposed to be trash. So if they can win something now, the whole country will explode.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, they will explode, but there's no way he's going to be better than Pele.
I'm not telling you my opinion is he's better than Pele. I'm saying the perception will be that he's the savior of Brazilian football.
I think he individually maybe not better, but like he would have carried Brazil more. Like in terms of carrying on your own, that team is good and everything. But to be fair, it went through its rough patch, and until Neymar started to show some form, that's the only reason they came out of that.
Richard, I'll give an example of what I mean. So I can't remember who it was in the Brazilian team, but someone said, one of the legends said, Neymar would not have made that team with Pele, they said it wouldn't make
Socrates.
It. So what they're saying is, forget the slight to Neymar, that team was so stacked that it would be a problem. So if he can do something with this particular team,
yeah.
They were talking about a guy who could perform miracles.
But we're also talking about a 17-year-old Pele who won the World Cup and then two more after that.
Sure, but in a very good team. Yeah. I mean, also, if you get Paulinho to win a World Cup, you deserve like something.
That's
a Nobel
true.
Prize.
On the other hand, in a couple years, Neymar at his absolute peak with Gabriel Jesus and Gabriel Barbosa like coming into their mid-20s, like that is a scary attacking front three.
Douglas Costa,
William, Firmino on the bench.
Disclaimer, we're not committing blasphemy here. We're just saying perception. We're not saying it's true. We're just saying some people might say.
I mean, still got David Luiz and Marcelo for defense.
Unbelievable.
So 7-1 is still on the cards.
Marquinhos to step in.
Yeah, yeah. Argentina.
A little PSG collapse in the back.
well done.
Argentina beat Chile 1-0. This was a feisty game as well.
As usual.
They always are.
As usual.
Very, I don't know, it's very end to end. Chile looked less good than they usually do. Is that a word?
I didn't
watch this game. Did Alexis play?
Alexis played after apparently 3 days earlier his ankle was smashed to bits.
This is why I asked the question.
Something's wrong. Like, I don't know what it is. It's either someone's lying or Alexis is superhuman. Like, I don't understand.
He is superhuman.
Yeah.
We know this.
So he played. He hit the bar. Blah, blah, blah.
He threw a tantrum.
He did at the end. Same tantrums he's been throwing at Arsenal recently. So people are like, oh, look at him. He's so unhappy at Arsenal.
I wonder if his dogs are giving him a hard time.
Yeah, Humber and Atom.
Maybe one of them is sick.
Those mongrels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems that his mood is directly related to these dogs.
Yeah.
I don't think it's about Arsenal.
You can't see it, listeners, but Roche is pretending to be a dog right now.
Yes. And that, not like the gangster type either.
Snoop Dogg.
So Argentina won this on a Messi penalty. You know, just on the Messi thing, because everyone knows how I like to harp. Everybody has their eyes closed.
So
like,
let's move on, guys. What game is after this?
And I think that's it, actually.
We're done. Oh, okay, great.
Messi did play really well.
Oh, he's still good.
He was really pulling the strings. Listen, he was really pulling the strings. He played really well. And it just shows, because there's a lot of things about like the way how Messi doesn't perform for Argentina or doesn't care to play for Argentina and all that. And the stats are stacked on his side. You know, when he doesn't play, they don't win. And it's as simple as that.
And you'll hear the same thing the next time Messi sets goal.
Okay, so this is true. Argentina don't win. On the other hand, they are so disgustingly mismanaged, it's not even funny.
Oh, but, yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah.
Player Lavezzi's still in the squad. Like, the best player is Javier Mascherano, other than Messi.
Aguero was number 10.
Yeah, like, there's no...
I'm sorry.
The squad selection is horrendous.
Let me ask you something. So, they're mismanaged, right? They had a beef with the, I think, the association, was it? So but have they been mismanaged for 10 years?
Yes.
Like, so yes. Every manager they've hired has no idea what they're doing.
Look, the debate online is about did Messi bottle 3 finals, or there's that camp, okay, and there's the other camp, which is this Argentina team should be nowhere near 3 finals. These are the 2 camps that you need to decide where you are. Either Messi bottled it big time, blah blah blah, or he dragged into 3 finals that they were not supposed to be at. That's it.
Okay.
You guys can make your
decision.
I think I'm in the latter. They should not have been in any of those finals.
Especially not the World Cup final. For sure. No.
Okay. Since you brought it up, and clearly I have nothing else to talk about because it's International Week, I don't think it's Messi bottling it, but I do believe that their team was good enough to get to the finals. Because if you look at their attacking and their midfield, it's freaking outstanding.
No, but it's outstanding on paper, but no one performed. Literally,
all we have is on paper and club form.
The tournaments happened and no one performed. Like, that's a problem. Like, literally no one performed. Di Maria didn't perform. Higuain didn't perform. Aguero hasn't scored the proper goal for Argentina in a decade. Like,
again, the point is, they say that Messi bottled it. He didn't bottle anything. Maybe in the last Copa America when he missed the penalty. But in the World Cup, they got there on one thing and one thing only. Like, to the finals. Defensive solidity. They did not let any goals.
And
Messi did not contribute a goal past group stages.
Well,
so it wasn't about Messi, and it wasn't about anything else, but they were solid.
The problem is, it will always be when you talk about, like, fine, that's from Argentina, but when you talk about Messi, personal point of view, he will always either be remembered for dragging them to 3 finals or losing 3 finals. That's it. You just have to decide how you see it.
I'm not interested in what Messi is perceived as doing. I'm more interested in the team. And the fact is, yes, they got to the World Cup final by being defensively solid, which is bizarre because they don't have good quality
defensive players.
And they have brilliant individual attacking players, mm-hmm. but no manager, and Sabella did well to get to the final using that system, but no manager, and this is my problem with Argentina, has managed to take all this attacking talent and create a positive attacking functional team. And part of that is because there aren't the defensive players to back it up. But it's just ridiculous.
I'm just not sure that it can literally, like, we can say that, I don't know, 4 or 5 managers, they've all been terrible at this. I don't see that. I think it's more the players maybe are not doing their part.
Perhaps.
Because it's just how many managers are you going to go through before they do something? I just don't understand.
It's hard to say. They're in the southern hemisphere. The soil is different. The grass
is
different.
It's hot, yeah.
The toilet flushes the other way.
I think that's Australia.
It's also Argentina.
Does the toilet... which way does it... What?
That's not
southern
true.
Southern hemisphere.
Anyways, one question from our Twitter follower before we move on to our quiz.
Trick
which I really
Christiansen.
Love. Oh, I wanted to try that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Great, good job, Alex.
Or add Dr. Fantastic. He asked us, which international team would win in a battle royale?
So this is an international physical fight to the death.
Is this like WWE where they throw you over the top rope?
I'm going Iceland 100%.
That was his suggestion, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh, I think the Aussies. I think Tim Cahill...
Aussies?
Like, he has some fight in him.
Got some kangaroo.
Yeah, but that's one guy. He's 11.
Have you seen him?
He's like 38 as well.
He's like a freaking...
Just because he boxes the corner flag.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, I feel like he could fight.
I don't know. I feel like...
I mean, one of the Africa teams.
Yeah,
sure.
Ghana
or something.
Ghana? Really? Yeah. I'm sitting right here, bro.
Okay, Nigeria.
Thank
Obi Mikel will mess someone up.
Alex
is too lazy.
Alex Iwobi and Kelechi Iheanacho are not beating up anyone.
Neither is Afanisa. We are very soft
now. I would go
I
with the Italians or one of the South Americans.
You know, the Italian back line, Buffon and those four? Ooh,
actually, I changed my mind completely. I'm going with Chile because they kicked their way to two Copas. So I'm going with that.
Gary Medel.
So we've got, okay,
and Jara, Gonzalo Jara? Like,
to recap, we've got Iceland, Ghana, Chile, and Italy. That's not bad.
All right, now who goes to the final?
Yeah.
Let's not forget, a few years ago, Turkey and Switzerland had some brutal affairs in qualifying for
Turkey would be a good one. Turkey to be fair. Yeah.
If you get the fans involved.
Yeah.
I haven't... What about Russia? I haven't seen
fans.
I think it's what they lose.
Russia is all about the fans.
Russia is all the fans, not
but Putin would fix the result. You know that.
True.
Remember Portugal?
It's not North Korea, though, to be fair.
Portugal against Holland? Now that was a battle royale.
Oh, the Dutch would be... Actually, no, the new team is full of, like...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good question, though.
The new team is full of Memphis Depay's. They can't fight.
Yeah, that's true. All right, I think that ends the international segment. Let's do the quiz. Welcome to the quiz, brought to you all the way from the Ramon Sanchez Quiz Juan.
Hey.
Very nice.
Not bad, eh?
I want to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal.
Okay, if you get these questions right, I'll take you. You ready?
Yep.
Question number one. Name the top three German scorers of all time. Alex.
Gerd Müller.
He's one of them. He's in the middle. Alex.
Miroslav Klose.
Correct.
Lukas Podolski.
Yes. So that...
He just stole it because he heard it before.
So that's Klose with 71, Müller with 68, and Podolski with 49. Question number two. Name four players that made 200-plus Premier League appearances for Manchester City. Bernie.
That was easy.
Sorry, two Premier League.
No, Richer.
Paul Dickov.
Wow, no.
Alex. Stuart Pearce.
No.
Joe Hart.
Yes, correct. Joe Hart is top with 266.
Sean Gaultier.
Alex.
Zabaleta.
Zabaleta is fourth with 210.
Bernie. Yaya Toure.
Nope.
David Silva.
That was easy.
Nope. Center backs. Both center backs. Yeah.
Vincent Kompany.
Yes, with 220. And
Richard Dunn.
Yes!
Clichy.
Nice.
Richard Dunn. I said center back. 250. 253.
That was horrendous.
For Richard Dunn.
So did you say Premier League appearances?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So it's Hart, Dunn, Kompany, and Zabaleta.
I didn't know City had played 250 Premier League games.
Wow. There you go.
Are you sure it's not Paul Dickov?
No, it's not Paul Dickov. Question number three. Name three players who won the FIFA Player of the Year while playing for AC Milan. Bernie.
Ricardo Kaká.
Correct, 2007.
Ricardo.
Ruud Gullit.
Nope.
Frank Rijkaard.
Andriy Shevchenko.
Nope.
Frank Rijkaard.
Nope.
Come on, mate.
Nesta.
Nope. Alex.
Fat Ronaldo.
Maldini.
No.
Franco Baresi.
No.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Wow.
He didn't even know it.
He was at Milan.
Marcel Desailly.
No. African player.
George Weah.
Yes. Before him, a Dutch player.
Dude, I said
Marco Van Basten.
Yes, Van Basten. Question number four and the final question. Name the three Robertos to win the FA Cup. Bernie.
Roberto Mancini.
Correct.
Roberto Martinez.
Yes.
Roberto Di Matteo.
Yeah, well done.
Wow.
Did he do a double?
Yeah.
Or as a player, you mean?
No. He as a manager.
The answer is correct.
FA Cup?
He won the FA Cup in the first and then the Champions League in the next?
No,
he won it there. Like,
both together then. He won it for Chelsea.
He won as a player, that's what it is.
Yeah.
No, these are all managers.
Yeah. But sure he didn't win it as a manager.
Yeah. Sure?
Yeah.
Well, like,
it says 2012. I'm pretty sure he won in 2012. He did. Yeah, FA Cup.
He still got that.
I'll take the points.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Chelsea. Right.
And much to the relief of everyone here and probably listening, it's Premier League time now. We've got a couple of massive games this weekend. One is Arsenal against Manchester City, and that's on the Sunday. But on the Saturday, we have got the Merseyside Derby.
Nice. Looking forward to that one. I always like the Merseyside Derby. Yeah. I don't know. It's got something special.
You like Everton.
Yeah,
you
I like
you
Everton.
Have a thing for Everton.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do a little bit.
I like this match because it's got a burger and a coke.
Wow.
And the gaffer and I are going to watch this game.
Wow.
That is the single worst impression of anything on earth I have ever heard in my entire life.
Anybody.
I just want to be there so bad. It's going to be a great game.
But this one has some added spice to your burger because it's potentially actually a battle for the top four. Liverpool are doing well and they're in the top four, I think, at the moment.
Yes, they are.
But they could drop out because it's really tight. And Everton have finally caught up with the top four and are only, what, how many points away?
Well, they're the same number of points as Arsenal, and they're 2 points behind
Liverpool. So that's very far.
Yeah, they're like 1 point behind Liverpool or something
okay.
like that.
All right.
With two games in hand.
So anyway. It's an important game.
Yeah.
Sorry, where is this one? Is that Anfield or Goodison?
Anfield, yeah.
Oh, because then yes. Everton will lose. Everton have not won there in like 20 games or something like that.
Yeah, but there's always, the first half for everything.
Yeah.
I think a draw would be an ideal result.
For who?
For who?
For, oh, sorry.
Everybody.
For the neutral.
Sure. Like a 5-5.
Okay. Surely the neutral doesn't care about the result.
I'm just excited to see how Lukaku does. Because, right now it's kind of, it feels like this is his push.
It's Lukaku time.
It's his time to make a push to be that guy. And this is it.
I think he's been that guy all season for Everton.
He's been that guy for 3 years.
Yeah, he's top scorer in the league. 21 goals. He's head and shoulders above everyone else.
Literally.
In physical strength, size, menace. He's got the look.
And Mr. Kane is going to be out for a couple more weeks, I think, or something like that.
So who?
This is the Mr. Kane.
Oh, I thought, he doesn't play for any of us.
Okay. So this is the time for him to, open up a gap in that respect.
Can Lukaku win player of the year?
No.
Exactly. So why, though? When Kane scores the most goals, people want him to win the player of the year.
He doesn't win it. But okay, Kane, I think, is a much better all-round player than Lukaku.
What?
If you watch Kane closely, he has way more to his game.
Okay.
But Lukaku's not going to win it because Everton aren't a seventh.
But Lukaku is
Kante is going to win it because he's been the key part to a team that's won the title.
Yeah,
Lukaku is allowed to walk around with scissors, though.
What?
So,
Yeah. Okay, sure. Oh, okay. I was confused.
Right.
I got it now. Well,
okay.
Done.
Unfortunately, that doesn't win you player of the year.
But you know what? Any predictions for this game?
Well, I wanted to just talk a little bit about Liverpool.
Sure.
At home, they're a formidable force, and I can see players like Coutinho, Wijnaldum, and Lallana trying to pickpocket. And they might, if they score an early goal, it's going to be their game.
Well, with Gareth Barry marshalling the midfield? No, to be fair,
with Morgan, who has been very, very good and important in this run.
And Gay?
Idris Gay. Oh, sorry.
I thought he was making a comment about Schneiderlin.
A little bit. I was about to end the whole podcast.
Right. Also, Liverpool have the best record against all the top sides this season.
True. Is Everton in that top
against
side?
The top six?
Yeah.
Everton are just out.
It's going to be 2-1 Liverpool. I think they'll resort to form and win this game.
That seems a reasonable prediction.
I mean, it is a big game for them, and they do well in the games. I see this as maybe a 2-2.
I think it depends, because the last big game Everton had, I think, was Spurs, and Koeman went with Idrissa Gueye, Barry, and Schneiderlin all in central midfield.
Creative.
And went very conservative. I wonder if he'll do... That didn't really work for them, but I wonder if he'll do the
same
again.
What about when they beat Arsenal? What did they do then?
They didn't have to do anything.
It's not a big game.
Oh, sorry.
Let's move on to the Arsenal-City game. This is, again, Arsenal are outside of the top four.
Show some enthusiasm, Mohamed. It's a very big game when your team is playing.
I didn't even know they were playing each other until like an hour ago.
This is where it's come from.
This is how much he's killed my footballing love.
Oh,
anyways, point is, Arsenal are outside the top four, and this is genuinely the first time where that top four trophy is under...
You didn't call it a trophy.
Top four trophy? Is that what I heard?
I'm being sarcastic. is actually under question. I feel like Arsenal might not make that top four, and starting with this game, if they lose this game, it's looking harder and harder.
So Arsenal are playing at the Emirates against Manchester City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I actually believe that they're going to lose at home to Manchester City.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
But
that's totally possible.
But see, it's a good thing that you're at home against Manchester City, who cannot defend.
Sure.
That is very good for you.
Sure.
So, yes, you're in a poor enough form. What is it? 4 losses out of 5?
Out of 6
I don't
or
know,
something.
Five
or
like
six,
that.
6 out of 7.
But it is Man City who cannot defend.
Yeah, but it's also Man City who have Leroy Sané and Raheem Sterling against a very out-of-form Bellerin. Fine, he can maybe pull his weight. And then you've got, Monreal trying to defend Leroy Sané. Are you insane?
It's going
to
be...
This is what I wanted to say, is that there is no real... redeeming hope for Arsenal at the moment beyond Alexis Sanchez. No one is in good form.
No
one. Literally no one.
Maybe
none of their players.
Maybe
no,
a little bit.
Not even the goalkeepers.
No,
well,
I mean,
one
this
of them is injured.
It's like, it will take a massive turnaround on a collective level to get a result from this game.
Like, if we forget the words Arsenal and the words Manchester City.
Sure.
Arsenal are in relegation form. They're
it's not far off.
That's
not
what
off.
I mean. So you forget the name.
But I'm just...
We're playing horrendously bad.
I'm just saying it could be worse if you told me this was Chelsea. Tottenham right now. I would say to you, you have absolutely no chance in this game. But not because the City are bad.
Right,
just the fact that this City team is not what it should be, I think there's a chance at least for a draw.
I agree. City will always give you a chance.
Yeah.
That is true.
Let's move on through a lot of the other games really quickly because we wanna get to the other more interesting stuff than these previews. Chelsea are playing Crystal Palace. Probably win and keep top of the league. Everyone agree?
No, I said 3-1 Chelsea, yeah.
Zaha maybe score a goal, but that's it.
Eh.
Yeah.
There's a game for Conte to score a goal.
Sure.
It's this one.
This one is actually, I mean, it doesn't look great, but Burnley at home to Tottenham. Burnley have been great at home, and, you know, Spurs without Kane might struggle to break them down. They've been very defensively solid. I mean, that's just what the stats say.
They're defensively solid because Michael Keane has been actually very, very good this season.
Yeah, Tom Heaton, obviously.
Burnley.
Yeah, so Dele Alli needs to injure him on international duty, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Or Dele Alli will just have to dive and get a penalty on Spurs.
But we also have to take into context. The big clubs are coming back from an international break, and teams like Burnley have not. They'll be more fresh. So there is a chance for an upset.
I mean, some of their best players are playing in internationals.
Sure.
Keane,
sure.
Hendrick, like, you know.
Keane.
Keane, that's it, yeah.
What else? Let's take a look down this list. United are playing West Brom. I mean.
Not straightforward. Not straight.
Sure. Alex takes a sigh over here. Alex, please.
Well, that's because West Brom beat Arsenal 3-1.
Because Alex is between a rock and a hard place. Because it's Jose Mourinho against Tony Kroos.
Exactly.
So he doesn't really know what he wants out of
this. Is this at Old Trafford?
Yes.
Okay, so 70% possession at United. Bunch of chances that you miss. West Brom will get one on the break. 1-1.
That is exactly how this
That is the story of half of United's home games this season.
Yes.
Literally.
Southampton-Bournemouth might be a good game.
That is an excellent South Coast cracker.
Isn't that like the beach derby or something?
Yeah, that's what they call it, buddy. It's the beach derby.
I don't know. They have some really shitty beaches over there.
The sunny England derby. But also, stay tuned for our Bournemouth article coming out.
Yeah. Sure. I think, when you're hearing this, maybe tomorrow or the day after.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Last but not least, a relegation battle between Swansea and Middlesbrough. So, Swansea are in good form. Middlesbrough can't score a goal. Swansea were in good form. But, you know, this one, I think Swansea should... This is a very important game for both. Mm-hmm. I think if Middlesbrough win this one, it's a huge kind of addition to their cause to stay in the league. But if they lose this one, it's looking very bad.
My question is this. Do you care less about this or Watford against Sunderland?
I care less about Watford against Sunderland.
Okay, because I think that has the potential to be the worst game of all time.
unless they both don't defend, and then it becomes a great 4-3.
I'm not sure. You have players like Troy Deeney and Jermaine Defoe.
They'll score goals.
Yeah.
Did you see Sunderland last week? It was, I mean...
Well,
never underestimate Moyes' influence to ruin a game of football.
I mean, thank God we don't have another Moyes quote this week, but I'm sure there'll be one soon. My thing is, and maybe we should ask this question in depth, have they actually decided they don't care anymore?
Yeah.
Because David Moyes still has a job, and maybe it's not that bad on his part, but has the ownership decided we're done?
I'll tell you what it is. You know when you're so stressed out about something in life, regardless of what it is, that you just almost hope it ends even if negatively?
Yeah.
Just so there's no more what if.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I'm so stressed about this, and I really want it to turn out well, but I'm so stressed to the point that I just wish it ends and turns out bad. Mm-hmm. I don't even care.
Can I tell you what Mohamed is talking about right now?
What?
Arsenal.
It's just like something that's like the stress of every year. I'd rather just end than we just reset.
So if you're Sunderland, right? If you're is it Ellis Short or whoever it is or whatever his name is? If you were him, I told you, you could end the season right now and just go into the championship. Just end it right now. Would you take
and
that?
And I can take like what, 8 more weeks of holiday? Yeah. What else am I getting?
But Sunderland are financially in a precarious position.
Sure.
As they have been for a while, but I feel like relegation is actually going to be disastrous for this club.
Well, I mean, they'll sell Defoe, most likely. Blah, blah, blah.
Here's a question. When you go down, you get a parachute payment, correct?
It's not that much.
So,
it's a lot.
Well,
the amount of debt that they have.
Well, that's true.
How much debt do they have? Like 100 million?
$800 million.
Basically
get a lot of money.
They can't buy players.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't have money now.
Right.
So the parachute payment is actually the best thing that'll ever happen to them.
But the thing is, they would need to get rid of half the squad who are on Premier League wages.
Yeah. That's the problem, is like, the wages kill
you. Didier Ndong's probably on like 70, 80 grand a week.
So you get rid of them, you get the parachute payments, then you start all... I think that's what David Moyes is here
for. But
you start again.
Start again.
Yeah.
We go again. Maybe they should hire Steven Gerrard for his first managerial job.
They should. But here's the reason that Moyes doesn't get sacked, is because they've been trying to appoint him for 5 years.
True.
Like, Short wanted him. Every time they hired a manager, they wanted Moyes, they couldn't get him.
And that is a very moo-moo move.
Yep.
Which I think sets us up perfectly for the next segment.
Moo-moo. Segue beauty.
Ha 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 ha. Moo-moo. One thing we are no sure, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
Welcome to our Mumu segment, which is sponsored by footballheads.com. That's F-U-T-B-O-L, heads with a Z.com. They're an apparel brand bringing you the freshest snapbacks, beanies, and t-shirts to wear with their awesome customized football club-oriented designs.
Yeah, they got some cool stuff.
They do. For all you guys, you get an exclusive 15% off. Just use the code UTC at checkout. That's footballheads.com. F-U-T-B-O-L and heads with a Z.
Now, is that capital UTC or small case?
It doesn't matter. That's how merciful we are. Also, nice. Just to remind everybody, Mumu of the Week is a segment where we highlight the fools and idiots of football. You know, when they do crazy stuff off the field.
Mm.
You know, our highlight, I think, has been, just to remind people what it's like, is a Russian footballer who hired the bear for his daughter's, like, 16th birthday.
Oh, Kirill Komarov. And it was his son's, like, 5th birthday. Yeah. But, yeah, close.
So let's see what I have this week. Alex, what do you got?
I've got Danny Mills, because he's an absolute moron.
All right.
And he was talking about the England team, and he was talking about the Lithuania game, and he said, you know, it's basically an under-23 side that they've got out there. It's a really young team. So I looked at it, and he's wrong.
Whose team? The England team?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Joe Hart, he's like late 20s. Kyle Walker, 27, I think, 26, 27. Stones and Keane, under 23.
Sure.
Bertrand, 26, 25, 26. Dyer, 23. Ox, 23.
Defoe, dead.
Defoe, dead. Sterling, under 23. Lallana, certainly not. Ali, yes. Yeah. So that's 5.
Well,
out of 11.
What they tried to do is, I saw like the commentary in the game, is they tried to really bring down the level of the English team just to... So,
the expectations.
Because the German team was also really weak and they still won.
Oh, this is Lithuania.
Oh, Lithuania.
Can I say something on this England commentator thing? So maybe it was Danny Mills who also said that Hummels is not as good as Michael Keane.
No.
What?
No.
Randy, stop making stuff up.
No. One of these guys, I don't know who it was, actually said Manchester United should not look at Hummels. They should look at bringing back Michael Keane because he's better than Hummels.
I will happily attribute that to Danny Mills.
Let's just do it anyway.
And secondly, the only reason that is right is because Man United couldn't buy Mats Hummels, but they could buy Keane.
Yeah, sure. Their own player back again. So
yes,
Keane
that's
back.
The only saving grace.
But I don't do it all the time.
Just wanted to say to English commentators and pundits or Mumus in general.
Yes.
I've got one more. This is a bit of a light Mumu, but it was funny. There was a friendly that was supposed to happen during the international break between Nigeria and Burkina Faso.
You going
to
hit me with that?
Two African nations.
Yes.
Where were they going to play the game? In Barnet. In London.
Okay.
That's the first move.
Hold on. Okay. It wasn't Wembley.
It wasn't Wembley.
Can I just say...
Yes.
This happens a lot.
Okay.
And literally because the Nigerian population in... Where's Barnet, firstly?
London. North London.
Okay. In London is unbelievable.
Okay. But you know what the problem is?
They have little Lagos in London. Fine. That's why they're doing...
Well, if they have so many people there, why are they filling up a 3,000 capacity stadium, bro?
That unbelievable population never got to see the game. Because the game got cancelled due to a lack of visas for the players.
Basically, half the Burkina Faso team couldn't get visas.
Yeah.
Is that... Who's the Mumu here?
Well,
everyone.
I think this is a Brexit vote.
The funny thing is, the Nigerian FA put out a statement being like, just so you all know, this was Burkina Faso's fault.
Yeah, we just didn't want to host it. That's why.
Wow.
Happy Mumu. One thing we are no sure, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
Italy now, Serie A, and this week could be bigger than the Merseyside derby, could be bigger than Arsenal against Manchester City. It is Napoli hosting Juventus.
Hey, oh,
that's yeah.
This is going to be a belter.
The Gonzalo Higuain derby.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Napoli have been, as we have mentioned a gazillion times on here, very exciting to watch, especially going forward with the trio of Hamsik, Insigne, and Mertens. Even sometimes Cajon gets in on the act.
Yeah.
I don't know. They might be Juve here. They might.
They could. I mean, this is their best chance because it's at home. I'm wondering, you know how when Figo went back to the Camp Nou, he got a pig's head thrown at him?
Mm-hmm.
What, anything for Higuain?
Well, yeah, Higuain would eat it, though.
True.
They'll throw him a sandwich.
Wow.
A
couple of bullets from the mafia.
Yeah, why not?
Ooh,
just Hamsik. Just Hamsik takes out a gun from his shirt.
On the field.
Represent.
He can't leave.
Yeah, he can't. It's so funny. Hamsik literally cannot leave Napoli.
Yeah, it's like, true.
He's so good, but he can't leave. Yeah. Anyways. Anything else about this game? Or that's pretty much it.
I don't know. I'm just so excited for this. It's like why. One of the best attacks against the best defense, and like
it's going to be 3-1 to Juventus.
You know what, Alex? I think it's going to be a really frustrating match because Juventus is going to stifle this game, and then Dybala is going to come and score some free kick and a penalty.
Wait,
and it's going to be 2-0 Juventus.
Juventus are going to stifle this game, as in Allegri will have a plan.
Yes, he will.
Oh wow!
Simone's always. Oh,
this is where we're going with.
Simone is always talking about Arsenal.
That's what Arsenal tried to do.
So this is what Allegri has now become.
And he's been contacted by Barcelona, so like Arsenal can forget about him.
Who, Allegri?
That is a rumor.
That is $8 million. Apparently, they've offered him a year.
You know what? Moyes to Arsenal because Sunderland are going down.
Okay, we're not talking about Arsenal now. Other fixtures: Sassuolo against Lazio will also be fantastic.
No, wait. Talk about this one, Alex.
I can't. Berardi is a brilliant player. Lazio have been doing very well. Roma Empoli should be a straightforward win.
4-0 Rajan Angolan will get a goal.
I'm sorry. You say it should be a straightforward win. Mm. Nothing is straightforward with Roma.
It's at home. Dzeko 2 goals.
Salah is back. He's coming.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah, to be fair, if Juventus drop points, Roma will lose.
Sorry, wasn't Nainggolan dropped from the Belgian team because he smoked?
Yeah.
It's also because they drew 1-1.
Wait, was he in that 1-1?
No, it's just Roberto Martinez is an idiot.
Absolute idiot.
100%.
Thank you. He's now in the Martinez fraud camp, and we are leaving him there.
He could have been Mumu, to be fair. Yes. Dropping Raja Nainggolan, like, he's always smoked, and he's always been brilliant. So, like, what's your problem? Anyway, and then lastly, Inter against Sampdoria.
This will be a good game, yeah.
I think that'll be a cracker. Mm. But Pioli has done very well.
A cracker in the stands, mate.
I swear to God that Pioli's job that he's done Inter this year has delayed Simeone leaving Atleti. If Simeone doesn't leave this summer, it's because Pioli did fine at Inter.
I don't know if that's ITK or that's just serious.
I'm sorry, I can't focus. Did I just swear to God?
He did.
That's weird.
Yeah. Oh,
all right, let's move on to La Liga.
Lightning bolt is arriving. Very, very soon.
He's about to get fried on the spot.
Quickly, Juventus are 8 points ahead in number one, and they're going to win the league.
Yes. Okay. I mean, the bets on that is like 1-1.
I said this.
You put in $1, you get $1.
I said this 2 seasons ago about this season.
People have said it for the past since Calciopoli. In La Liga, you've got Malaga, who are doing really bad near the bottom of the table.
Really bad.
Well, they are really badly.
Horrendous.
Sorry. It's like fifth or something off the bottom.
No, like third.
Third off third.
Actually, fifth off the bottom. Yeah, something like that.
They're playing Atleti, who are gonna absolutely destroy them. Griezmann is just on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, we didn't talk about France and the international break.
I know, because they played Luxembourg, but they were brilliant.
Sure, Giroud scored 2 goals.
Yes.
Anyways, you'd be brilliant against Luxembourg.
True.
Yeah. Anyways, Atleti. Griezmann has been a really good player.
Yes.
No, he's been really
like
good.
Just showed up in the season or what?
I think the thing with Atleti is that like a lot of the season they haven't been brilliant. They've been trying to do new shit and change their formation and stuff.
Yeah.
And they've gone back to basics in the last couple of months and just been brilliant again.
Like Simeone decided to actually want to stay now.
Yes. Sevilla's playing Sporting Gijón.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
if you want a game to get you back on the winning
on the
streak,
yeah,
run
on the beaten road.
Yes.
Yes,
what must it be like to be a Sporting Gijón player?
Well, like, it must be like making, I don't know, 20 grand a week.
I mean, it's better than your life.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is.
You're showing up to lose.
Yeah, but you're making 15 grand a week, mate.
No, this is this La Liga.
You're
not making 15
grand.
You are.
The same player in Premier League making 50,000.
Yeah.
He's making at least 15.
He might maybe 5,000, but he's
fine.
Making
fine. You know how bad the Spanish
pesos.
Economy is? He cannot find a job.
No. He's coming to work in a bullock cart.
Okay, great. 5,000 pounds a week. Let's say that.
You'll take
he's still better than your life, mate.
Although, you do wonder, like, start of season, like, meeting, the coach goes, right, lads, if we do really well this season, we'll get relegated late, not on the bottom.
It's like Moyes. Maybe he came in from the very beginning and just said, you know what, guys? Our goal this season is to get relegated. It's going to be a tough winter.
But my point is, in England, if you're in a shag team like Sunderland, you still get profiled, you know, like your name is out there. But if you're playing for Sporting Gijón, most of the world doesn't care.
But they don't care.
It's like you're like a professional footballer, but you're like,
if you play
really
for Sporting Gijón, you actually do not care that some bloke in China is actually not watching your game.
You don't even
care
about the sport. You're just making money. It's your job to feed your family.
Sure.
And you get to play instead of being a factory.
And you can still buy a Maserati
and crucially, you get to live in Spain.
I have not seen a single Gijón player in a Maserati.
You haven't
seen a single Gijón player outside of the pitch.
Anyways, that was a great preview of Sevilla versus Gijón. So well done there, guys. Real, I don't know Real who. Madrid, I'm assuming.
Madrid.
I'm just reading this off Alex's notes. Are playing Alaves. So prepare yourselves for
Marcelo goal.
For 2-1 Real Madrid victory with Sergio Ramos popping up from a corner from Toni Kroos.
Yes, sure.
Bale suspended for this? Presumably?
Yes. Then he got a red card, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Granada's playing Barcelona. And then Barcelona are following that up with Sevilla.
Sorry, where is this game?
Where, which one?
The Granada one.
And Granada.
Absolute 7-1, mate. I was going to say, if it's Barcelona 15. Home, might be 10.
To be fair, though, I got to move back to Real Madrid really quickly. Have you guys seen their fixture list coming up? That's apparently going to be insane.
It's, oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because they have two games in hand?
They're playing, like, Atleti, and then the Bayern, and then twice. Barca, and then Atleti again. Sorry, and then Bayern again. Like, it's tough. I mean, them and United have been talked about as, like, having crazy fixtures coming up. So
I think winning the league is all they want.
I mean, they are because Barcelona keep bottling, to be fair.
Well, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Moving on.
Let's do TFC.
Yeah. They have got Sporting Kansas. It's the home opener. It's on Friday. Few days. Sporting Kansas City. This should be fun. I mean, TFC have made two signings since they last played a game.
Yes.
Which is a bit odd.
A defender, whose name I can't remember.
Two defenders. So the first one was Jason Hernandez, who's like... I've never seen the guy play. MLS veteran. He actually said in his introductory interview, my job is to be a good teammate. So, like, he already knows he ain't playing.
Okay.
Okay.
Why was he signed?
Backup.
Yeah.
To be a good teammate.
Yeah.
Providing, what's it called? Atmosphere.
Support. Yeah.
Locker room.
Yeah. Exactly. Pom-poms,
And
that's what I do for UTC.
Yes.
Pom-poms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Down the left wing.
Yes, absolutely.
And then the other one was Øyvind Alseth, who is a young guy. He was on trial there. In the off-season. Oive, indeed. Mm. He sounds like he's just walked off the set of Vikings.
Oive, indeed. You didn't mean that.
I didn't.
Yeah.
But we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it.
And he's going to provide, apparently, he's going to provide backup at, like, right wing back.
According to?
From where to show?
The website? Yeah.
So how many right wing backs are playing at once?
Yeah, five.
The whole lineup is a right wing back.
Beta Shores playing it right back, and then this guy standing on his shoulders.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the game should be exciting. TFC, last game, we talked about it last podcast. They looked really good. Altidore is in great shape. I don't know if Jovinko's back for this one.
I'm not sure.
But Altidore and Bradley, weren't they with the US?
Yes, they were, and the US won 6-0.
Yeah.
Ooh, Clint Dempsey scored a hat trick.
A beautiful second goal.
Yeah.
Dempsey, the thing is, when he has a good day, he looks good. Like, sure. I enjoy watching Clint Dempsey when he's doing well. He's like a fun player to watch.
There was an article I read where they said he's the best American player ever. Between him and Landon Donovan, who are you guys going
for? Donovan is your stats man. He's the man you need when you want to definitely win this game. But you want to enjoy 90 minutes of football? Mm-hmm. Clint Dempsey.
Sure. Dempsey is a very smart player.
He is very good. And when he came to the Premier League, he didn't do that bad.
He did very well, I thought.
Yeah. The Fulham 4-1 Juventus.
Sorry, I know I'm taking us away. Dempsey. Are we still on TFC?
Yeah, sure.
Just on Canadian stuff. Rumors about Carl Larin.
Yeah.
To Everton, possibly?
Rumors. Well, I've heard rumors in the past about Celtic, which would make a lot of sense if they end up selling Moussa Dembele.
Yes.
But, today, rumors surfaced. It was in The Sun. So, you know, whatever.
Still, we'll take it, man. It's Canadian rumors.
Yes. that Everton are looking at him. They know they're going to lose Lukaku. Obviously, he would not be a direct replacement. That would be horrendously unfair on Kyle Larin, as talented as he is. But it's exciting, man. I think he either has to move this offseason or he's committed to MLS. Because he's like 22 at this point.
If he moves to the Premier League, is the reputation of Canadian football on his shoulders for everyone that has no clue about it?
A little bit.
A little bit, right? Yes. So there's no pressure.
A lot of it.
Yeah. He's going to be like, we signed a Canadian dude. He was really bad.
Yeah, the same way Altidore was really bad for Sunderland, and America was, you know, bad the stock football. Market crashed and everything.
See, the thing is, Scott Arfield is doing a really good job for Canadians in the Premier League. He's totally functional. I'm just not sure everyone realizes he's Canadian.
Yeah. No one knows. The name is so British.
Yeah. Also, he didn't come from MLS over and all that.
Owen Hargreaves was Canadian.
Sure.
Was. Yeah.
And then quickly, he chose not to be.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some stuff in the news. So since it's international break and we, you know, didn't have as much to talk about, we decided to just pick out random snippets of news and talk about it for the last 10 minutes or so. We're going to start with...
Marine Le Pen.
No? Who?
Never mind.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Hopefully.
Alex Red Card.
Let's talk about Neymar to United rumors. Bernie, please relax on the bashing of the rumor. It's a rumor.
I'll take over.
Rishay, tell us how you feel about this.
I feel like some pleb at Marca magazine was, you know, he was down on his quota for articles for the month, and he needed to conjure up something extremely sensational, and this Neymar to United for $200 million is like the least creative thing he could have written about.
But Neymar to United has been a thing.
Okay, let's do this. Let's do it debate style. So, Mahanan and I will be the case for, and you guys can be the case against.
Sure.
In what sense?
I'll try not to throw
it happening.
I want to tell you why it's realistic.
Okay,
go ahead, please.
Fine, let's do this.
So, for a start, Manchester United's interest in Neymar is long held and it's real. Yes. They want Neymar.
Yes.
His release clause is $200 million.
Yes.
Manchester United have all the money in the world.
Yes.
And they're willing to spend crazy money on players.
Yes.
Neymar is probably the best player you could buy at this point.
Yes.
He's 25.
Yes.
It's not unrealistic given how mental the game is.
It is unrealistic when you look at the numbers and break it down financially. There is no club in football right now that can afford a player for $200 million. It is not financially possible.
I think with loans, with payment terms, with breakdown structure, I think it's doable. I mean, if you say, I'm going to pay you $60, $70 million up front, and then the rest over 3-4 years, I think they'd do it.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like numbers, hard numbers, the player amortization in the modern era has had some effect on the transfer fees. Like United, for example, ended up making a profit on the Di Maria sale, even though they sold him for less. But I think that United, everything that they do in the transfer window coming up is contingent on them making the top four. And they are linked to Griezmann first before they are linked to
for 100 million. I mean, yes. if you think 100 million for Griezmann is realistic, I don't think it's a huge jump to then just add a few years of 20 million payments.
It is incredibly unrealistic because then you have to, excuse me, add the wages on top of that.
Brady, how unrealistic
is it?
Him
incredibly
This is
the dumbest rumor I've ever read in actually in a very long time.
One
this is the dumbest rumor.
One counterpoint.
On dumbest rumors?
Two words.
What?
First one's Edward. Second one's Woodward.
Edward Woodward needs to
listen.
I'm gonna leave that.
I like the guy.
Can I tell you a worse rumor that actually happened?
What?
Remember when Arsenal were linked with Silvestre? Do you remember that?
I remember when they bought him.
Yeah. I do not remember when they
that
bought
him. That was a great day.
Another one is Monchi is leaving Sevilla.
Monchi.
Whatever, man. It depends on where you're from in Spain. Monchi is leaving Sevilla.
You just made that up.
If you're a Catalan, it's Monchi.
Wow.
Viva España. Listen.
Monchi.
He'll become
Roche is just hungry.
He'll become the new AS Roma sporting director moving from Sevilla. Alex, how do you feel?
As a pseudo-Roma fan, I'm delighted about this. Because Roma's recruitment and sales have not been wonderful. Every time they put a good team together, they end up selling their best players and what have you. Monchi, or Monchi, or whatever you want to call him, has an unbelievable track record at Sevilla of not only making tons of profit, but also building a team that
he's,
can win
he's
cups.
Very calm when it comes to transfers. He just like kind of, I know, he builds up his inner chi.
Well, okay, let's give some background on Monchi for those who don't know who Monchi
is. Oh, now
is.
He's Monchi.
Monchi.
Oh, okay.
Monchi is like the best scout that Sevilla. So like Sevilla's Europa League successes back to back to back to back to back have been attributed to Monchi's scouting methods.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now, is it just him? Is the entire scouting
he's
network?
A, he's a big,
are they bringing
he's a big
over
the
scouting network as well? Because Monchi is not going to be the be all end all.
The scouting network could just be transferred over on a USB stick, mate. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, Roma, and I know this from playing with them on FM, they have a lot of scouts. So you put him in charge and you get him to tell them what to do, and their recruitment will get better.
Okay.
If they do improve in that area, it will be a Monchi off their back.
Okay.
This is exactly why I didn't want to call him Monchi.
Last but not least, Henri recently was asked about the whole Arsenal job, as he usually is. And he said things like, you know, with great respect to Arsene, I can't really comment, but yes, my name has been thrown out there, blah, blah, blah. He'd obviously be very interested. He's saying he's preparing himself in terms of the assistant job with Belgium and all that stuff. And regardless of what he says, I don't think he's ready. I think it's sentimental to think Henri should come in or Bergkamp or whoever and become Arsenal manager. Maybe assistant, like Bold is doing, whatever, in some role, some capacity. Like Pires is director of football. Like, this is just sensational stuff. So I don't think it's realistic. I don't know what you guys think.
Absolutely. Like, some Marca magazine writer equivalent in England has put this together.
The Sun.
Like, absolutely horrendous journalism. Like,
Daily Express,
mate. It's terrible.
Like, I mean, the biggest horrendous part is that Arsene Wenger is going nowhere, so I don't know why we're talking about replacements.
The direct example or correlation to this, thank you, is Ryan Giggs as a Manchester United manager. It made no sense at the time, except maybe four games of management more sense than Henry. Yeah. So you wouldn't do this either. What Arsenal need is not another experiment. What they need is someone tried, tested, a winner, and all this.
I don't know what that means.
Wanted to not do this.
I don't know what that means. Say that again. Say those words again.
No.
Okay.
No, I won't do it.
I agree with you 100%. What I would say, though, is Giggs was on the shortlist. So, you know.
It was a shortlist of Jose Mourinho and Jose Mourinho and Ryan Giggs.
And the other thing is, I don't know if you guys caught this a few weeks ago, but Josh Kroenke, son of Stan, I think he's on the board. He has a place on the board.
He is.
He came out and stated that his preferred candidate for the Arsenal job in the future would be Thierry Henry. Now, he has no idea what he's talking about.
Yes.
He doesn't know football.
But
he's in a position of power. So, like, stranger things have happened. Arsenal fans wouldn't want Thierry Henry.
Would Henry take
it? And so goes the story of the world.
Yes.
Would Henry take this job?
Yeah, he would
take it. If it was offered to him now. Because you can burn out, like Gary Neville, like Ryan Giggs, and then you can easily find yourself maybe... I mean, they won't sack Henry, but you never know. In a year or two, he's surplus requirement, like, we can't do this anymore, and then he's not going to find
himself. Look at this from the point of view of Gary Neville. Sorry. He said, I'd be stupid not to try.
Yeah,
that Valencia job, and he would have been stupid not to try.
But don't try that high.
Well, why not? Like, it's presented to you; you have to do it. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. They're all rich guys; they can go do whatever they want afterwards. So, if Thierry is given the Arsenal job, he'd be dumb not to try it. He'd fail, but he'd be dumb not to try it.
Yeah, I just want to highlight the point that in recent seasons, it seems in fashion for a club legend to take over the managerial role. Zidane at Madrid, Luis Enrique at Barcelona.
Pep at Barcelona before.
Sure,
I see what you're saying.
Who else was there? There was, Ryan Giggs was mentioned. Gary Neville, he wasn't Valencia.
Simeone,
Simeone Inter, yeah. It's in fashion.
It is. I've just had a brilliant idea, though.
I doubt it.
Hear me out.
I hate this already.
Who's managing New York City FC?
Vieira.
Who should manage New York Red Bulls?
Thierry Henry.
Come on. Oh. That would be wicked.
Roy Keane. Yes! Roy Keane would be better.
But he's blown it.
Sure, as a manager. Come on, can you imagine them on Dark Days?
But like, as a staging ground for Henry's future managerial career, New York Red Bulls.
Sure,
that's good, actually. That would be the tamest derby of all time.
Yes, it would.
Anyways, I think that brings us to the end. There's no more rumors. We've covered them all. The only rumor is that we have a Bournemouth article coming out in a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
So watch out for that. And then...
The rumor was the Richey actually being on the next pod.
Oh, yeah, that's still iffy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we have the Thursday throwdowns as usual, so we'll take a look for that on Thursdays.
Thank you for downloading the Koshcast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.